You want to have Yisochas Vulnin, and they're not learning by Mikkel. Okay. Vayigash Sheil of Yehuda. So this is the final confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. And finally, Yosef is mizvadet his brothers. So obviously the first question that comes to mind is the delay in the whole parsha, from parsha's Miketz to parsha's Vayigash. The whole schlep of how long it takes Yosef to finally reveal himself to his brothers, and finally to remove the tsar from Yaakov Avinu. And this is not a new question. This is already the Rishonim asked this question. It's alluded to in the Medrash that Yosef kept his father waiting. And the question really goes back from when he became the Melech of Mitzrayim. So long that he was a slave in Mitzrayim, okay, we could say maybe he was cut off, communication, whatever. But once he became a Melech, once he became a king, how did he keep everything in hiding from his father? So the Ramban gives a very difficult answer, which is shared by the Rabbeinu Bechaye, and that is that Yosef was waiting for his dreams to materialize. Yosef had a dream, and though he was waiting for those dreams to come true, so that's what he waited for this to happen. The obvious question on that is that a person could have dreams. The Taka Yosef is called the Bala Chaloimus, but you don't have a right to be mizalzel in your father and to keep it av because you have a dream. It's very nice you have a dream. It's very nice that you want your dream to come to some kind of conclusion, but that it should be even in a place where it's against your father. Your father's sitting there in Sar, and he just lets his father sit in pain. What? Even if it's a nevuah, if the nevuah would have been explicitly not that to tell Yaakov Avinu, Hashem will worry about the nevuah coming true, right? But that Yosef should be mezalzel in his father to facilitate that the nevuah should come true. Where's that? If the nevuah would have given him a directive that he can't tell his father, okay, that could be, but we don't find that. That's a debate whether the dream was a nevuah. But even if it was a nevuah, it's unclear how he kept his father waiting. But anyway, but then finally he reveals himself in this week's parasha. And when he reveals himself, it's a rush. V'loyochol Yosef l'sapik. Here he's waiting years and years for it to happen. And now the precise moment, v'loyochol Yosef l'sapik. He can't control himself. And he tells everybody to leave. He's mizvada to his brothers. The pasuk says that as soon as he's mizvada to his brothers, it says that they cried. If he revealed himself to his brothers, he cried, and they cried on him. But the pasuk precedes that by saying, Yosef cried on Binyamin's neck, and Binyamin cried on Yosef's neck. If you look at the pasuk, it's plural lashon. It says, Vayipol al Savor Binyamin Ochiv Vayevk, Ubinyamin Bocha al Savorov, plurally. So if you look at Rashi says, Al Shnei Mikdoshes, Shasidim Lies Pechelke Shal Binyamin Vesefer Lichorov. That when Yosef was crying on the two Batei Mikdoshes that were going to be destroyed on the Chelke of Binyamin, so that's why it's plural. Savorov wasn't one base on Yosef, two. And Binyamin Bochal Tzavorov, Al Mishkan Shiloh Yisos Liyas Bechalka. Very strange. Here the two brothers have not seen each other for all these years. You can imagine the tsar that these brothers had. Binyamin had 10 children in the interim. And each child he gave a name after Yosef. That's the pain that these two brothers had from being apart. And now they finally meet. And now what? You're crying about Beis HaMikdash? Now you're going to cry about something which is not even here yet? There's going to be a Chanukah HaMikdash before there'll be a Chum Beis HaMikdash. Now you're crying. Maybe now you should rejoice in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If I was Yosef, and I was meeting my brother now the first time after all these years, I would actually have simcha for the two Beis HaMikdashes that are going to be built. Now I'm reminiscing the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which also simply is avoidable. Doesn't have to happen. But he's crying over these Batei Mikdash, and Binyamin is crying over Mishkan Shiloh. Shasa Lichale. What is this? What is going on? That's what these two brothers are crying. It's a very difficult Rabbeinu Bachaye. Very difficult Rabbeinu Bachaye. At the end of Parshas Vayichi. In fact, my Mechutin just asked me about it. My Tzukumen Dike Mechutin called me. He says to me, what's Pshat in that Rabbeinu Bachaye? The Rabbeinu Bachaye says that the ultimate Asor Arugei Malchus, it's a famous Maimah Chazal, that the ultimate Asor Arugei Malchus were a kapore for Mechius Yosef. Right? The chet was hanging. There's actually a whole chap, because it says Rabbi Kiva cried. Right? The Gemara knows it, famous Gemara. That when Rabbi Kiva came to the Pasuk in the Torah, Hashem Yislach Lo, Rabbi Kiva cried. Right? And what does that Pasuk say? That a woman who eats goes against her nether, which it turned out her nether was already voided by her husband or by her father. But she didn't know. Says the Pasuk, Hashem Yislach Lo. Hashem has to forgive him. So when Rabbi Akiva came to that Pasuk, it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva cried. He said, look, somebody you just wanted to do an Aveira. They didn't actually do an Aveira. Because it turned out the husband was Mata Neda. She didn't know her husband was Mata. So he said, Ma, mi, shemiskavon lecho basuch hazio. So imagine somebody who actually doesn't have it. Rabbi Kiva cried. This is the Rabbi Kiva. You can't get him to cry for nothing. This is the Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara and the Makkos, famous Gemara. Ari, we had to see him in your house. The boys made a seam on Makkos. This is the Rabbi Kiva. You can't get him to cry. He's by the Chumbeis HaMikdash. They saw Foxen going out. They're crying. He's smiling. Rabbi Kiva says, you know, we see in the Churban, we see the rebuilding. Unbelievable. The Rabbi Kiva, when he Nebuch lost his son, and says all the Gedolei Yisrael came to the Levaya, and everybody was crying. This is by his son's Levaya. Rabbi Kiva Mitzachik. He said, look at the Kavod Shemayim, all the people that came. Always able to find the good. And all of a sudden he bursts out crying for this. So some say, we know Rabbi Kiva was one of the Asor Arugei Malchus. He was one of the 10. See, he was chosen for a kapore, for Chet HaMechiras Yosef. The Chet HaMechiras Yosef really ended up being something good. Yosef tells his brother, Atem chashavtem alai l'ro, elikim chashov l'toiva. Yosef turns to his brother and says, don't feel so bad. You maybe wanted to do something bad, but it turned out to be something good. That's what Yosef tells his brothers. So that's the pshat Rabbi Kiva cried. Because Rabbi Kiva knew his job is to be a kapore for a bad machshava. And here he found a posuk that tells you that even though you ended up not doing a chet, Rabbi Kiva cried because it was his job to fix that chet of machshava. But anyway, so my Mechutin asked me, he says, why Taka wasn't Yosef Meichel? Rabbeinu Bachaye says, we don't find that Yosef was Meichel. Yeah, why Taka wasn't Yosef Meichel? So you tell him, be Meichel then. Yosef was a tzaddik. So be Meichel. Wasn't Meichel. I understand, we don't find clearly he was Meichel. He dismissed, when they told him they're worried he'll take some kind of nekama, he dismissed it. But he doesn't clearly say, I was meichel. Yeah? Why Taka wasn't he meichel? It's a pshat. We find that ultimately when the Mishkan is put up, we have in the Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzaveh, Kisiso, Vayakel, we find over there that throughout the Torah says, Klal keeps on repeating the Inyan of Shabbos. Keeps on repeating the Inyan of Shabbos. And ultimately, Shabbos and the Mishkan become very connected. In fact, the Lamates Malachas are those Malachas that were in the Mishkan. The fascinating Psikta, the Psikta says that when it says that Hashem rested, what did he rest from? He rested from not building the Beis HaMikdash. When Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, it says in Malachim, Fatishlam HaMalacha. So the Psikta says, Fatishlam Malachas Maisei Bereishis. Maisei Bereishis got completed. Meaning the Beis HaMikdash was still left to be made. So it comes out when Hashem rested, he rested from building the Beis HaMikdash. Makes sense why the Lamatas Malachas are the Malachas of Shabbos. But Lamaise, constantly Shabbos is connected to the Mishkan. Constantly. So once we know it's there, because to tell you it's not there for Shabbos, that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. But what is this constant connection between Vayakol Moshe's Klal Das B'nei Yisrael, also Sheshes Yom Tas Teyos HaMalach? Shabbos is constantly connected. So a lot of different pshatim. One of the pshatim I wanted to give was like this. The Gemara says in Gittin that the Satan used to come every Shabbos Bein HaShemashas, and he used to make sure that he didn't get into fights. He used to be Megara Machloikas. I always use this Gemara in Gittin to show, look till today, how many fights happen on Shabbos. Most politics on Shabbos. Shul politics on Shabbos. Here in this room, when the shul started, this was the whole shul. This room. You remember Shelly those days? That's a given the shul. There's a little Ezra's Nashim over here, a little teeny, like a garage. That was already the addition. Remember when we built into the... This was the whole shul right here, this room. There was one guy in the shul. Was very politically charged. A nice guy, but very politically charged. Always. So I went over. I was only in the shul a couple of months. I said, do me a favor. One day a week, nothing. No politics, no talking to people about machloikis. No, just one day a week. Zero. Only positive things. He says, fine, mask him, Rabbi. What day? I said, Shabbos. He said, okay. He came to me 2 weeks later. He goes, Rabbi, you drip me. All the machloikis opportunities are on Shabbos. During the week, there's no... Hey, he was right, I did drip him. You drip me. But the Gemara in Gittin says that the machlekes is epis ol for Shabbos. Right? What's Shabbos? Why is Shabbos such a... Why is Shabbos such a day of machlekes? So I say that the pshat is poshet. Shabbos really is a day of achdus. It's supposed to be. Shabbos is the makor for the whole week. That's why Hashem gives Neshama Yisera, the Zohar says, the kulam misatlam and nishmas and chalatim. There's one neshama for Klal Yisrael. That neshama Yisrael is really one that we all share. So Shabbos is really a day of achdus. It's a day supposed to be unity. So the Satan comes, he knows the opportunity of achdus, and he comes, he breaks it. He comes to fight it. That will also explain Rav Yitzchak Kutner, holding out the end of Chanukah, so it's Chanukah. Right, Ashpo is still here for Chanukah. Rav Yitzchak Kutner, he is a great kasha. The Gemara talks about Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Somebody only has enough money for Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. The Gemara paskins Ner Shabbos. Shalom Bayis Odif. Frekter Vutner. So I don't understand. Shalom Bayis. The whole week there's Shalom Bayis. So why does the Gemara only bring down the Shaila Lagabi Shabbos? That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying really you could take Rav Hutner's kasha and promote it more. You could say Why were Chazal only misakin and Ner Shabbos for Shalom Bayis? There should be then every night there's a Shabbos Ner for Shalom Bayis. Teretz says there's a special Achdus on Shabbos. That is the school of Achdus, Shabbos. And it's the opposite. The whole week, Ish Tachas Kifano, Ish Tachas Zese, people are busy with business. Shabbos is a time where people could unite. And that's why the Sotan comes, he tries to make Machleke Shabbos. Shabbos is his man of Achdus. So if that's the case, we can understand, because we know, as the Gaon says, all the Kedusha that we have comes from Achdus. So that's why Beis HaMikdash is brought down together with Shabbos to tell you that in order to have Kedushas HaMikdash, you need to have Achdus. Without Achdus, you can't have Kedushas HaMikdash. Kedushas HaMikdash needs Achdus of Gan Tzchal Yisrael. I always felt that's why the Korban Tomid is the Korban that has to be brought before any other Korbanos. That means you have a Korban Oyla to bring, I have a Korban Chattas, he has a Korban Oshem. We can't bring our Korbanos only after the Tomid. Tomid is the first Korban and the last Korban. All the other Korbanos are just like in the middle, sandwiched in. Why? Because the Tomid is Gan Tzchal Yisrael. And the only way we can have a Ritzui in Shemayim is if we're one. So the Mareches HaTomid, you could bring all the other Korbanos. So now we get back, now we start going backwards. That's the idea of the Mikdash. That's the idea of the Mikdash. I think we can now understand very clear what's going on here with Mechius Yosef. The emphasis is that when the brothers sold Yosef, this was a period in Achdus, as Chazal say, it was a period in the Achdus of the Klal Yisrael. That was not just a damage for the moment. That was an everlasting damage to Klal Yisrael, because it was a period in the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. That period had to be repaired. We had to fix it. Yosef HaTzadik couldn't just say, okay, let's forget about it. Can't just forget about it. It has to be fixed. It was damage. And the damage required that Klal Yisrael should go through the trauma that they went through, that the brothers should stand up for Binyamin, that there should be some level of tikkun for what began. And that's why he couldn't just say, forget it. And ultimately, when Yosef didn't give an outright mechila, it's not that Yosef was standing on ceremony. It was that the chet wasn't completely repaired. It wasn't fully repaired. The period wasn't fully repaired. What's the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was built by Yosef and Binyamin? Why were they zeich? It's a medrash. It's a medrash rabbi. The medrash rabbi says, Horem gavnunim. The medrash says that the Beis HaMikdash couldn't be built on any of the mountains of the Shvatim. All the Shvatim wanted Beis HaMikdash by then. Because kulchem ganovim, you're all thieves. You're all involved in Mechiras Yosef. So could you imagine? Mechiras Yosef happened thousands of years before. It invalidated all the Shvatim from being able to build a Beis HaMikdash by then. Right? Forever. Atzev Kol HaDerech. In fact, even the Mikdash Yerushalayim, the Gemara says in Yuma, in Zvachim, that Yehuda couldn't have the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach by him. The Ritzua, there was a piece of land of Binyamin that went through the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the Mizbeach is. The Mizbeach was not built on Yehuda. The Mizbeach itself was built on Shevet Binyamin. But it's hard to imagine. Still from Mechiras Yosef. Rav Shach Zeich HaTzadik Levracha once heard a beautiful idea. He said, why wasn't Yosef Zeich? Yosef only got the Shiloh, which was temporary. Right? Yosef also wasn't involved in the Mechiras Yosef. So Rav Shach said, similar to what he said, Rav Shach said, he was the Chafetz HaGozel. He said, the Chafetz HaGozel also has a connection. Right? The Chofetz Chaim talks about Lashon Hara, that it affects the person who's talking about it, the person you speak to, and the person it's spoken about. Right? So Pashup Shalom means the Hezek. comes out of the Lashon Hara. B'chaim V'Lashon had a different idea. B'chaim V'Lashon said that if somebody spoke Lashon Hara about you, you also have a little piece in it. Okay? Because if you would be the Chavetz Chaim, they wouldn't be talking about you. So whatever you, that's also your piece. Of course that's that. The main blame is on the person that's talking to Lashon Hara. But, so Yosef, so the Pshat is that Yosef also couldn't have the Beis HaMikdash in his Chaylik. So now it makes a lot of sense. When Yosef and Binyamin met, and so they were united now, finally after all these years. But now they were still crying over the damage of the period that wasn't fixed by them getting together. And that's why it's over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Binyamin was crying over the Shiloh, and Yosef was crying over the Mikdashos. Not Pshat, the crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were crying over the current damage that ultimately led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Akasha was, what are you crying now over that? It wasn't over that. It was now, because that was the damage that was created here. See, even though now they were getting together, they felt like this break in Achdus was irreparable. The fact that there's going to be a Churban, it means that right now it's not fixed completely. So really, in a sense, Binyamin and Yosef's cries weren't over the future. It was over the Achshias. Right now, what was going on right now. And this is something we all have to take into our minds, that Machloikis is not just a damage for the time. Machloikis is a historical pagam, Uderi Deris. That's what I said, because they had to go through the trauma of trying to bring the brother back. You know what I mean? Even Asari Mochus, it's all tikkunim. That's what I'm saying. It's all tikkunim. It just shows you the damage of period, how far it goes. By the way, Lou Goldberg.
Even I looked enough for the Mishkan. Shemenditz left over.
I think so. Yeah, that's the plan.
That they shouldn't be ma'alav b'shemen more than the shiur b'sabad of Baltashkas. There's such a zach. There's a heeder to let it burn more and more and more.
Kol tov.
Past the shiur. There's a heeder to let it burn and burn.